You're listening to the Black British Parent Podcast, having conversations, sharing experiences, and supporting the Black British Parent community with your host, Deborah Field Pelly.
So, you, as a result of your experiences, I'm assuming that you guys collectively together have embarked on this journey of, how can I say, intuitive or intentional parenting and marriage. Now, tell us a little bit about that. I don't know how much time you've got, but I really enjoy.
I got time.
Okay, good. Because we might chop it up. But I think
this is fine. Excited.
Can you please tell us a bit about that style of parenting or that lifestyle in terms of your relationship in your family and what that means?
So basically it's exactly that. It's being in tune. That's the way I could say it. So the way I view my family, I view it in so many different ways, but how I can say with this is it's like a song. When we're playing in harmony, when all of our parts are tuned together and we're playing together, we make a beautiful song. Mm. A song that I could not create on my own. And it's like, it's awesome. So my goal with that, I guess, is just to continue to fine tune it. The more intuitive, I can listen to the song and tell when the song is offbeat. If it becomes offbeat, then we literally think about it. What we need to do to tone it. Tune it. How do we got to tune it? We're listening. We're toning we're tuning in. We're paying close attention to what's going on. I look at my boys and just how much talent. I look at all of us. My gosh, I look at my wife. I look at everything that we have that God has given us on a table, and we have. It's almost like playing with Legos, and it's like I want to build the best creation I can with this, and that's it. It's fun. We get to tear apart, take apart, try new things, input new cars. It's fun. It's fulfilling. It's rewarding. I would never be able to go out and do stuff. Matter of fact, the perfect example would be this. This happened to me on my birthday. Me and my wife went camping in our trailer. We took it out because we don't really get date nights. And that was part of the reason why we wanted to have this, so we could be mobile and go, hey, we're going to drop them off to you, go out, and then come back. We don't got to pay for hotels, any of that stuff. We can use this this can be a date night box. So we went to, I think we went to Big Bear out in California in the mountains. And the job that I used to work for, it was a Jaguar Land Rover. I used to work there. Okay. Their service department, the same people who I used to work for, who fired me, showed up a day after us for a work trip. They were there with all the work people, and they were there on a work-funded trip. I was there for my birthday for leisure time, working from home. That's when God showed me. It was like, oh, no. Nah, you did it right.
No signs, yeah.
You did it, Rip. You did it right. Focus in, because you could tell. Not that the way that we are so in tune. Like you had asked me earlier, who my friends are. Those are honestly my friends. Those three boys, because I know that by the time they turn, they're gonna become adults one day. They're gonna be adults one day, and then we can really start to talk, spar.
I'm getting that now with my 19-year-old. We're going to do so much things that I never anticipated. And it's really quite strange as well, as you say that, because people have this idea of setting boundaries, which, of course, you need boundaries in any relationship you have in terms of, you know, what's friendship from what's parenting. And I've never seen that me and my daughter are friends. We are parent and daughter. But at the same time, we have very similar interests. Of course, because I shaped and raised her and grew her, you know, she's very much into the 90s stuff. And it's like, yeah, I can live my 90s again with my daughter. But then she's into certain things. So it's a beautiful time.
It's beautiful. It's like, I see it already in my 9-year-old. Like me and him, this boy is a Lego genius. That's one of the things that we like to do. Is he's all about the Legos. So we get in with Legos. He's a gamer. I'm not a huge gamer, but he's a huge gamer, and I have a nice interest in games. We game. He loves adventure. I love adventure.
Yeah, they're on the gaming thing, but I'm not. I used to be, but not so much. I think once PlayStation came in, I tapped out. But that was a bit too much for me. But yeah,
it is a bit.
And this is the thing. I think when we're intentional with our parenting, when we're able to reflect on ourselves and our own traumas and pains and do what works for us gradually and take our time, then we're able to heal certain aspects of ourselves that then allow us the room to enjoy space and time with our children and our family, you know?
Absolutely.
It's so important. It's so, I mean, a lot of people are doing it now. It's wonderful to be able to meet with families and have these conversations. Particularly, I find more often it happens mostly within the home ed community. It has been my first real experiences in terms of people outside of my family. Fortunately for me, it's a bit of a strange one, because I think this is slightly coming off the question I asked you before, but like the whole concept of men and how men have the relationships with their son, I only had experiences of men in my family having relationships with their children. They were very much their present dads. Although outside of that, it was a very different thing. So I got to see both sides of it. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I grew up without my dad. I had, I grew up with what they refer to as a stepdad. He's not my stepdad. He's my dad. You know,
I gotta say the same thing.
Yep. Right. We have had a really good relationship even up until now. Do you see what I mean? It's probably difficult for my biological or my birth dad really to see that.
Yeah.
But it's what it is, you know, and if anything, I think he should be grateful that I get to experience the pleasures of having both. Do you know what I mean? But back to my point, just that concept about being able to enjoy and spend time with our children. I think we're just so focused on trying to accumulate and trade material things with our children instead of time. It's really difficult to it's probably has an influence on why are having so much issues and problems now, because they're not necessarily having that engagement and that time spent with them, with their parents and their family.
Absolutely. I feel like I've always felt like the best thing you can invest in is people. You're going to invest in people. Invest in something, you're going to invest in people. You're going to get a greater return, because you never know who that person that you were nice to is going to be. You never know who they are. You never know what they might do. People are the greatest power. So it's just like that. They're still, one day they're going to grow up to be adults, and who knows what they're going to be. Who?
Yeah.
No idea what God's plan is, but if I'm there, how I'm very big in martial arts. If I'm your sensei and my goal is just to train you to be the black belt, after you become a black belt, that's when the real training begins.
Right.
After you become 18.
Better than me, because there's a teacher then. I mean, you don't want to keep your students being lesser than you. You want them to.
Ever. I want you to be better than me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so big on leading by example, because I feel like if I can achieve my own personal greatness, and you're going to be better than me? Oh, my God. What are you going to be?
And with that as well, that's where it comes, I think, with that whole concept of being intentional and being reflective or conscious. Like, you're able to at least acknowledge your own mistakes. And I say mistakes loosely because, you know, people have a hard time of accepting. But mistakes are a part of life. And mistakes is where you learn and grow. And not to say that our children won't make those same or similar mistakes. But at least if we give them a little bit of a heads up, they're like, oh, that's what mom or dad was saying to me.
Right. I can see this beforehand.
Yeah, whichever it is. And learn from new or different mistakes. They don't have to be the same repetitive mistakes that we're doing.
Right.
Generation. Do you get what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly. Because that's how you get new growth. That's how you get new growth. Make a new mistake. Do something that I didn't do. I would go, because that right there shows me that we're growing. That you can now come and teach me from your mistake. We can grow together. That's with my parents. That's one of my biggest, I guess, hiccups, is I feel like they never taught me anything to help me avoid any of my pitfalls. And I made a lot of them. And I'm like, and now being a dad of three boys, I'm very glad and fortunate that I made all of those mistakes and I got out of it, because now I can teach it to somebody. But the same thing, even with my, like, my biological father, me and him, we don't have like the best relationship now. We kind of talk every once in a while, but it's literally the same thing, like what you said. Like, I'm sure he's kind of struggles with knowing that my dad was there, but it was like one of those things where I made a lot of the same mistakes he made. Yeah. And it's like, if you had told me beforehand that this would have been the outcome, I wouldn't have did it. I wouldn't know where it came from.
But that's the thing. It's like you said, it's a catch-22 to some degree, because without you making those mistakes, you wouldn't have been, or having those experiences, then you wouldn't have become who and what you are entirely. However, that's not to say that if they told you about their mistakes, that you would be different, but they'll just be
more aware.
Yeah, and you probably not save time, but not waste so much time, perhaps. Or
exactly, no, exactly that. Not waste so much time. Like there's, it's like crazy. I've always, one of the things that I had dealt with growing up was suicidal thoughts, and I never knew where it came from. I had them since I was 9 years old. Come to find out, my mom deals with depression and anxiety and stuff like that, but she doesn't really deal with it. She just kind of goes through it or whatever. And I'm like, we never talked about anything like that. We never talked about mental health.
It's normal in the community, by the way, unfortunately. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, we don't have conversations. We're so busy. Everyone's trying to live. Everyone's trying to survive. Everyone's trying to live because that's what the system has given us.
Project a certain image of how they're doing it.
Exactly. And so it's one of those things where it's like, everyone's literally trying to fit in. Everyone's trying to fit in to whatever box that they were given. And it's like, you can do that, but then we're so busy trying to fit in that we're not helping the people who are here. We're trying to get our children now to fit in.
Or learning about ourselves and accept our individuality, because the differences is what makes the world go around.
Right? Exactly.
It's
hurting us. It's like those little things are hurting us. Which, I mean, you know, they're having a new conversations like this are happening. Okay, one second. Daddy, what's up? What's up?
I have I was going to take it back.
You were going to take it back?
Yeah, I thought I wanted it.
Okay.
Because right now, I was playing with it all day.
Okay, so that was yesterday you were playing with it all day, but it's Cash's Kai, isn't it? Okay, so you got to let Kai use it, or let Cash use Kai, because it's his Kai. You can play with it again later. Legos. All you and over Legos. Sorry.
Welcome to Parent In.
Man.
But it's the patience that you have as well. And I was assessing or judging, but I love it when I can see parents be present in the situation and not be dismissive of the child's experience and really bring it home for the lesson that can be there. Do you know what I mean? Most parents are like, I'm on a podcast. Do you know what I mean? And I love that.
I've been there. I've been on both sides.
Me too. I'm not lying. And that's what you're
learning. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
Because the more I would think of, I remember one day I told my oldest, I was like, you need to be more responsible. He had lost something. I was like, I need you to be more responsible. And then like an hour later, it clicked in my head. It was like, bro, what is responsibility?
You're meant to teach him.
You don't know responsibility.
And he's going to learn.
I was like, you don't know what it is.
As a parent now, I'm just figuring out my responsibilities. And I've been doing it for 20 years. Do you get what I mean? So, and
exactly.
Change over time too. Do you get what I mean? So we're adjust in some way. With regards to in this concept of this style of parenting, I find, for example, with gentle parenting, as it were, because I see your wife speaks about it quite a lot on her page as well, and you as well too. And what I find is now, it's like back in the day, I mean, gentle parenting is nothing new. Right. It's been around for a long time, right? But at the same time, it's perhaps new to our communities, because we're not necessarily used to that concept, because we've had to chastise our children to protect them. Do you know what I mean? From certain things. And what I'm finding now, I'm trying to not be judgmental, but it's an observation, because a lot of us haven't learned or understand the healing that we need. When we're attempting this gentle parenting concept, we are only able to fulfill so much of it, but the consistency isn't there. So we end up causing perhaps a little bit more damage than we intended. What's your thoughts on gentle parenting potentially going wrong? Do you get what I'm saying? Misunderstanding. Gentle parenting.
I agree 1,000%. Consistency is always key. It's key. If you don't, that's one thing that me and my wife, we have our parenting and how we handle things down on a consistent basis. But even with schedule, that's one of the things that we're trying to get on is consistency, because that's what helps build up here. That's what helps give you a reassurance. It solves getting away from anxiety. It helps get away from depression, because you know what to expect. You know what's coming. You know what your consequences are. You know what it's not a surprise. I don't know if mommy's just going to randomly
or it doesn't jump change. On me or, because right, there's some instances where a parent might be gentle with their child a few days in that week. But then one day, that child might do the same thing they did 2-3 days ago, but our reactions change because we're thinking
completely about different.
You know what I mean? And so...
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had that with them. They've done that. I've literally done that to... I wouldn't say to... No, yeah, I've done it to the degree of that. Like, there'll be days at a time where, and they'll call me out on it. We have really good communication. So they'll call me out and they'll be like, dude, like, hey dad, like you're tripping. But like, there'll be days where it's like, I'll look at my, especially with my oldest, with him getting older, I'll get really frustrated with him. I'm just like, dude, like I've told you 7 times, he won't get yelled at, but he might get an extensive talk to. He might get a little lecture, and he don't want to hear me. He doesn't like that. He's like, you're coming at me too mean or whatever it is. And he'll feel some type of way. And then 15, 20 minutes later, we'll come back. We'll talk about it. And he'll call me out. Well, no, I didn't like that. I didn't like that you were doing that. I didn't. I feel like with it, no one's going to be perfect. It's definitely detrimental, but it's one of those things where I've learned that if you can be open with your child about it, it helps them get the that you're not okay. I get it. You're still,
and it's like, so long you're open, but not with the intention of dismissing or making excuses for your behavior. It's this
right
difference between having to be open and create a platform of understanding, a foundation of understanding, opposed to just making it go your way because you're an adult and I said so. Do you get what I mean?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, I apologize to them. I will sit there and have to apologize to them. I'll tell them, we'll joke about it, we'll laugh about it, because it's like, I let them know all the time, like, dude, look. And one of the greatest things has been with them seeing how I was parented now more recently with us being around my parents more. They've seen some of the things, so they're like, oh, I see.
Really?
And I tell them all the time. I tell them all the time. I'm like, okay, look, daddy, like, I didn't have the best upbringing. Daddy was yelled at a lot. I'm a Marine. I was yelled at a lot all the way up until my 20s. That's just what it was. So I yell sometimes. So I'll tell him, I'll be like, all right, dude, look, I'm sorry. Like, I'm still working on my yelling. I don't yell often, but if I do yell, I'm sorry. I messed up. You're right. You know, I'm not supposed to talk to you like that. And I let them correct me the same way that I correct them, because they'll do it too. They'll do it to their brothers, or they'll even do it to me. They'll yell. And I'll be like, hey man, like, we don't do that. And they're like, you're right, I'm sorry. Like, you know, they'll apologize, they'll get upset, but we kind of made it a culture to hold each other accountable, because I let them know, like, daddy does not have all the answers. Don't think I have all the answers. I'm just good at figuring out stuff, and I will tell you when I'm wrong. But like, I just tell them, it's a learning experience. That's literally what I tell them. You're learning, I'm learning.
And they're learning to have parents, so.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I tell them, I'm just like, oh, daddy's not, I tell them all the time, I expect you to be a better dad than I was. You're going to be a better dad than I was, because you're going to know these things. We're going to have gone through these things. You're going to have a better solution to it. But right now, we're going to figure out a solution to it.
You're going to have to accept where you're wrong or where you've made a mistake. That's the first part. Just being able to do that alone is the most challenging aspect.
And that's one of the biggest things. That's why in my book, the book that I had wrote about 4 steps.
Yes, please tell us about your book.
That's the first step is self-evaluation. In order to be a good leader, you have to be good. You can't be, there's good leaders and there's crappy leaders. The good leader is going to inspire you. He's going to be honest with you. He's going to be upfront. He's going to motivate you. You look at him and you see an image of what you want to be or better. The crappy leader is going to tell you all these things and not going to do none of them. He's going to yell at you and tell you not to yell. He's going to tell you to clean up after yourself, but he's going to leave a mess. Which one do you want to be? If you want to be that good leader, you have to do a lot of self work. You just got to, you have to do it.
because it's all about accountability. I cannot hold you accountable for anything that I can't do, because then I'm a hypocrite. So that means that if I'm yelling at you and I know that you shouldn't be getting yelled at, if in the real world I don't want you to go yelling at people, I'm not going to yell at you. We're going to have to find another way to communicate, because otherwise you're going to go out in the world thinking that it's okay to yell at people, and then we're going to have a problem. And it all comes back down to no matter what, like in every relationship that I've, whether it be with a person, with my mom, my brothers, whatever, anything. And I'm pretty sure most religions talk about this. You're going to control yourself. So control yourself. When you're perfect, when you got the stick out of your eye, you made yourself perfect in alignment. Okay, then you can worry about other people. But till then,
perfection doesn't exist. You can only strive for it. You can only work towards it.
That's why self-evaluation, that's why it's step one, because you're not going to be perfect. So stop expecting them to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. Yeah. You're not going to be perfect. I'm going to make so many mistakes. So if I'm going to make these mistakes, you're going to make mistakes too. But we're going to continue to evaluate ourselves so that if I make the mistake, I'm not going to make it again.
You're going to acknowledge it. You know, you're going to see it.
I'm going to notice it. I'm aware of it. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. I told you I wasn't going to do that. And I did it again. I'm sorry. I'm still working on it. I know it.
What's the name of your book?
It's 4 Steps to Engaged Fatherhood.
I saw it on Amazon and digital. Is it going to be a physical book at some point?
It is.
It is already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's out. Yeah. It was on Amazon at one point, and I had to have them take it down because it wasn't supposed to go up on Amazon. The publisher.
You just send me a link so I can order one, because I don't do physical reading too. I prefer tangible books.
I will send you a link.
Wicked. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to reading that. So I noticed that you mentioned recently, or quite a lot generally, about, where was it? Matrimony mindset. Please tell me about that concept. What is matrimony mindset?
I remember, it's essentially, I guess the best way I could explain it is I read a book once, and it was talking about how marriage is not supposed to make you happier, but make you holier. And that concept really stuck with me, but that it kind of turned into more of a mindset. Everything that I look at in my marriage, I look at it as, I guess you could say, one of the greatest challenges. I'm trying to, like I said, it's like I have it's Legos. So, but it's Legos, and I can create whatever I want to create out of it. And so having that mindset is understanding that I can create whatever I want out of this marriage, as long as I'm controlling myself. As long as I'm in control of myself, as long as I'm doing these things for myself and we're still in alignment, then that's good. We're a team. Our goal is to take these Legos. It's not just me. It's me and you. Our goal is to take these Legos that we got and build an empire. Are we going to do this? How are we doing this? Because if my goal is to build an empire and I chose to do it with you, then we have to have the same mindset. We have to basically be a team. We are a team. We might as well be a team going after a championship. Exactly. Yeah. So now that means we need to come up with some plans. We need a playbook. We need, what are all these things that we need to do to make sure that we are always on the same page and we are aimed at the goal? Whether that be, if we're talking, we've literally built a social media business, and it don't work if it's not both of us. It's not going to work. Yeah. So that means, okay, cool. We have an empire together. We built something together. We have to hold this together. That means we can't have plays that aren't in the playbook. We have to make a playbook. We have to know what's on the table. Hey, what are we doing here? You can't 5 years from now change up and, oh, I want a second husband or something like that. Like, no, that's not what we signed up for. This is the playbook. We got the playbook right here. This is
I love the example, by the way, second husband.
That's something I tease her about all the time, because she had a client who had two husbands. And I look at her, I was like, don't get no ideas. Don't get no ideas. We ain't doing that right here. We stay, it's one-on-one. So I tease her about that. But no, like, it's literally that. There's no, this is our playbook. This is our goal. If we can communicate about what it is that we both want and we're in alignment about that, that aligns with both of us, then that's the goal. We need to get there. What are we doing to get there now? And that's the matrimony mindset. It's having that, what are we doing to get there? It's we're always changing. You're changing, I'm changing. Today you might want to be a photographer. Tomorrow you might want to be a chef. If that passion changes and that's all of a sudden what you want to do, I want to support you. But we have to be in alignment before you can't just make the decision to just go left. We got to talk about it and come up with a plan so that we can go left together.
Yeah. And now, and you're not left, the whole family. There's a lot of adjustments for those changes. Yeah. But, you know, once you're in cohesion the way you need to be, then whatever comes your way, you're able to adapt and adjust where you need to. So.
Exactly.
It's like water going through different spaces, isn't it? Being transferred to different spaces,
to one space, and that's it. It's literally that. It's we want to make sure that, we're in tune, we're in alignment. If we're going to play a symphony, this is our family is the instruments. We have to know the song. We're orchestrating this thing. We got to know the song. We have to be able to train the people to play the instruments. We have to be a team. I can't do this without you, and you can't do this without me. And if we understand that, then let's figure out what it is that we have to do this, because we're here now. So, I mean, keeping that mindset is what's really helped us get through everything. It was one of those. We haven't really talked about this much, but we talked about it, like all of our infidelity stuff. We put it out on the table, and we really sat down and talked about it. And it was one of those things where it's like, it hurt. Like, shit hurts. It hurts. And there's really no getting around it. It does hurt. But it's one of those things where I'm still choosing you. So we're not doing this again. You hurt me. I hurt you. That's not what we intended. That's not what it was. We was doing what we felt was best for whatever, each other or ourselves at the time, whatever it was. That's got to stop. We can't do this again because now we have all these Legos. We've purchased all of these Legos. We have 10,000 Legos right here. We have to build something with it. I'm not taking these can't go back. We can't take these back. We have it. Yes, you made half of them red. I made half of them blue. Okay. Well, now we got to fix it and put something together. Now we're making Spider-Man, I guess.
And not in a passive, aggressive, or condescending way. It's like, if you want to be here and you want to make this work, then let's do this. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's it. Exactly. What's otherwise, the point? We bought these Legos for nothing. Wasting our time.
And if it's not a joint sort of venture in that kind of space, then we need to kind of know that, so then we can figure out the adjustments for if we're not to be together. Not that is the solution, but whichever way it goes, we still have to work in some sort of cohesion.
Still have these Legos. Are you taking half the Legos? What are we doing with them? We still have to do something. Yes, Levi's with me. We still have to do something. That's one of the biggest things that I've talked to my brother, my brother from the military, that I've talked to him about this a lot, and he is divorced now, but I've talked to him about it because he's still dealing with the same issues. I told him, I was like, if you divorce her, that doesn't take away your issues. It doesn't take away the trust issues.
Yeah.
You're just not going to trust the next person that hasn't even done nothing to you. It just
adding to the problem. Instead of resolving it, it's on you now.
So now what are you going to do to fix it? It was literally one of those things where I'm so invested into this. Okay, we made mistakes. Okay, we got to fix it. We got to now, because obviously there's parts of you and me that are broken that caused this to happen. Well, if we were to have divorced, it would have been bad. I would have never trusted anybody ever again. Like that. These are things that I have to get. I'll be dealing with what happened with her without being with her. So I'm still having to deal with it. It's not going nowhere.
Yeah.
It's not going nowhere. So it's like, okay, then you just gotta, let's buckle down. When the tough gets going, or when it gets tough get going. Gotta get together. There's gotta be, I guess one of the other parts of matrimony mindset would be, you have to see that God put you, if you really believe that God put these two together, let no man break them apart, right? If you believe that God brought you two together, then there's a reason. there's a lesson that's there to be learned. Figure it out. Let's figure it out, because literally it's not, that lesson's not going anywhere.
No,
that lesson, and sometimes has to be learned.
I feel like sometimes that upheaval is part of the experience and part of the growth. Do you know
absolutely
what I mean?
Absolutely. Exactly. It's exactly. You don't have a choice. You still, like, either they're there to bring the problem to your attention or they're there to help you solve the
problem.
It's
easier to walk away. And I'm not saying, obviously, in abusive situations and relationships, that's a completely different thing. But in areas where you're both conscious, you both have a certain level of awareness, you both are, in some respect, making efforts for growth, then, you know, that should be enough to then work on those foundations in the way
work that... Work on, right. Because it's harder to go exactly that. You have something. We can still do something. I want to, you want to. There's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. Like you don't want to split. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to separate. Right. If you do want to, that's a whole different conversation. But if you don't want to, even though that conversation is coming up, but you might not want to. And sometimes I feel like in some relationships, in some family situations, it feels like when there's a struggle or there's issues or the balance isn't quite matching up in some way, it's easy to assume that it's not working out and maybe you should part. Because we're not necessarily raised with a solution or problem solving kind of mindset. Do you hear what I mean? We tend to
see a problem. We're making the run.
Or walk away from it, right? Or just drop the issue and go elsewhere.
And that's what causes, I feel like that happens a lot in our community, where it's like, dog, you probably could have fixed it. And it's like, like that's how, at least with my brother and a few other people that I've seen, especially in the military, where it's like they have children and now they're not involved in their children's lives anymore as much over something small that you guys could have fixed. It, you were half the problem, but you won't even see that you're part of the problem.
And I think, go on.
No, I was just saying, it leads to a lot of just damage when we're not taking care of ourselves and actually really evaluating and seeing what am I bringing or what am I not bringing? What am I doing wrong? What could I have done better? Because it's going to go there. In the military, we had evaluations for like our performance almost quarterly. And it's like,
that's how it's
like, exactly. So it's like, you need to evaluate. No one's, if you're not evaluating your performance in your marriage or in your relationship, your parenting, whatever it is, then no one else is. And you could possibly be hurting somebody. And it's like, and not even be aware of it. Like, you're not even be conscious that, oh, shoot, I'm hurting somebody, which means that you can, oh, they're the problem. They go off and then you come back and you're still hurting somebody.
Yeah.
Perfect instance. My parents to this day, I'm still the trouble child. I'm the most successful ones out of my siblings. I love them. I love them to death. They're way younger than me, but their paths, my path was a whole lot different, a whole lot more. Like, I'm more situated. And I tell my parents this all the time. I'm like, if something happens to you guys, you know I'm taking care. I have to take care of everybody. Yeah. So me and you need to communicate. I wasn't the problem child. You guys still have these problems that you're dealing with right now. That's why we're in the situation we're in. It's like, it didn't go anywhere. You can't put the blame of you can't put your own problems off on anybody else. Otherwise, you're just going to keep bringing them into different situations. Hurt people.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when elders or parents or, you know, have this problem child attitude, they don't realize that it's not necessarily the child is a problem. The child is just a mirror to the problem that you lot are putting out. Do you know what I'm saying? They're just reflecting back to you what
they're
you're
reflecting
putting
back
out
to you.
So there's levels to account. Yeah. I think that's amazing.
It's accountability. We have a large accountability problem. Like I had a huge part of it in my marriage. She used to tell me that she was like, I had anger issues growing up and I had a right to have anger issues, but I didn't realize that my anger issues were spilling out. And that's part of the reason why we were having problems. And it was like, when I started to really understand that, it was like, oh, let me not react to these things. Let me take it this way. You're not used to this, whatever. Like when I started fixing my own stuff, the mirror changed. Now it's, Oh, I see what I'm doing wrong. I could have did it.
And that's the thing. I find that the resources that are available to support families or people going through these things, I think culturally there's a whatever it is that is there, because majority of those resources don't necessarily reflect us. And if they do reflect us, they're still adopting a system that doesn't reflect us.
Reflect us. Absolutely. That when we, that's part of the reason why we do the content and why we really.
And that's what I was going to say, why I appreciate you guys and what you're doing so much, because it's refreshing.
When I got those classes when I was in the military, it was forced. It was because me and my wife had a situation where I ended up, we ended up having the cops called on us, and I ended up going to jail for the night because I was a military, I was a Marine. And so I had to get back to command, and command me had me do all these classes. If I never got those courses, I would have been lost in the sauce as a parent. And that, it really struck me. I was like, so if I was forced to get these courses, I didn't even know they were available. Y'all weren't going to give them to me. Y'all weren't going to let me go to them unless I got forced. How many other people, and then you go into the course, and the course, of course, has nothing but European people in it. Everybody's European, everybody. So it's like, okay, my community doesn't even know this exists. We don't even know this exists. These techniques that I was learning, I was like, y'all, my parents never do this. They didn't. My parents for sure didn't know this because they have these same traumas that I'm talking about right now. They didn't know this.
Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes as well, is there's a fear factor of being told that they're wrong or how they might be dealt with for how they've been dealing with things. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's a look to it. That's why, again, why I really appreciate being able to talk to people like you and see what you have to share, on, especially on social media. Because run social media. However, it's a means of connecting the dots and being able to share information and connect with real people. If you use it right. And it's important to have these things be able to be shared because there's so much, you know, there's us that are older, perhaps more seasoned parents, I mean, to some extent, but then there's so much more younger people that are actually on these social media platforms religiously and whatever they get, fair enough, they're not necessarily following our feeds, but eventually they might see it or something might be shared
with them. It might click, it might help, right. Just having it accessible, that. It's like you were saying earlier, a lot of our communities don't have access to anything that is of, like, it's, and I feel like that's like part of the problem, like the worldwide problem is specifically our people don't have access, but our people have the greatest influence.
It's like
giving the original programming something damaging and then expecting all the copies to be perfect. Like, no, you fix the original programming. Let them, we influence it. We know our history. We are the influencers of the world. So why don't you let us, give us the access, because that's going to be the healing. Like, I was reading a study the other day, and it was talking about how Black fathers, African-American fathers, are one of the top, like, invested fathers. The biggest problem to where they're not, the ones that aren't invested are either incarcerated, they work all the time, or they're divorced.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Okay.
But ironically, though, there's information out there saying that children, I think it was an American research paper or something, but they were saying, I think it was back in 2015, so a little while ago, but not that long ago, they were trying to say that children listen more to their mum than their dads. So I think that information is based on not our necessarily culture, but wider, more, you know, seen cultures. Exactly. And that concept is just really quite bizarre to me because I know how much influence the present dads in our community have. Do you get what I'm saying? And to then say that
the daddy voice is legendary.
Even from birth, like during pregnancy in the womb, do you got me? That deep bass voice, that tone is real.
Right.
But then in that same research paper I was checking out, that article, they were also trying to say that as a result of the fact that children listen to their mums more, dads don't make as much effort to try to be heard because they know they're not going to be listened to. But I'm sitting there thinking, that's not our reality. That's not my reality. That's not my experience. That might be some men's reality because of whatever situation they've got themselves into. But yeah, it was just a really kind of interesting dynamic. So it's ironic that you say what you just said in terms of, you know, the influence that Black men have on their children.
It's crazy. It's honestly, what I'm starting to realize more and more is that the information is suppressed. It's suppressed. It's highly suppressed because a lot of it, there's so much. There was articles. I was back in school in 2018 and 19. is what I was I was in school for, or 18, 19, and 20. And the articles now are different. I can't even access some of the articles from back then. And it's mind-boggling to me, because I'm just like, I mean, obviously they're suppressing, they have to be suppressing it because they don't want people to know what's going on. But the realities of it are exactly that. They're not, there is not what they, what they're putting out there. It's not what mainstream media is telling people. It's not, that's not the case. And it's like, I feel like that, that is a really big part of why fathers, a lot of fathers, especially new fathers, stray away. Cause it's like, I don't know what it looks like to be this. Everything tells me I'm going to be bad. Right. If that's what I'm tapped into, everything's telling me the opposite of what's reality. And it's,
and then they've been killing the image of Black fathers. For example, God forbid I talk about this. I don't know if I can actually keep this in here, but the concept, we for example, we watched Fresh Prince growing up in terms of father figures. Do you get what I mean? And we watched The Cosby Show, and look what happened to Bill Cosby. Do you get what I mean? And they're probably trying to just destroy that kind of perspective. What I found though interesting as well is that during my parenting journey, the things that I was naturally, was natural to me in terms of how I do things, wasn't necessarily how my parents or my foreparents, my grandparents did. They kind of did, but it was, there's certain elements were slightly strange, and my family looked at me like I was weird or odd for doing it. And it was very interesting, because then I naturally fell across the concept of attachment parenting. And when I'm reading this information, I'm thinking, but I do that, but our Indigenous people did that. So now they've coined it with some copyrighted term that, and but then when we're looking at that information, we're seeing that's white people thing, that's not our thing. I'm like, but that was our thing. Do you get what I'm saying? It's all of that.
That is literally, and it's so crazy that you say that, because that's it's true. And I feel like the generations, a few of the generations before us, especially in the UK and in the United States, our people have been so disconnected from our history of it that we don't know. That's literally us. Like, literally, oh my God, it's crazy, because it's like, you, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. This is, like you said, gentle parenting is just, that was reading an article about a hunter-gathering community in Africa. They're still hunter-gatherers. The children sleep in the bed with the parents until they're like 14, and they said they have no issues. They have no rebellion, no nothing. Nothing, no, like, the children have no issues. And I was like, that's crazy, because that's how we let them, at that time, we were letting them sleep in the same room as us. They sleep, right. We all sleep in small quarters, and everyone's looking at us like,
people have a judgment and a negative attitude about it, like it's something insidious crazy. About it. And it's European culture that makes it be that way. And not to say that there are situations within families when it can be quite insidious and toxic. I'm not saying that. But then to rule that every family shouldn't do that, just in case.
Just because, right. Exactly. It's all, they've mixed in so much of misinformation. Yeah. And like, they've tried to make it so that we have no clue. Like, we go against our own natural selves trying to fit in to the mold that they put out there. And it's like, there's no reason for it. I remember when I started putting them in the same room as us, it never occurred to me until after that how much more safer I felt knowing that they were right there in case of an emergency.
Yeah.
I was like, it started to hit to me, and I was like, dude, why have I not been doing this right? I was like, anything could happen, and they're in another room, like, at night, when we're all asleep. I'm like, that doesn't even make, it started changing. I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. And
God, no disrespect to any families that have had similar situations, but you know, like, you hear these stories about things that happened in a house, for example, with fires and stuff, and everybody's in different rooms and people can't get to people and all these kinds of things. And it's, you know, it's like, I'm not to say that to be disrespectful of those situations, because people are doing what they think is right by their children, what they've been educated to do and what society is supposed to do. However, I look at that and then I look and think about how we indigenously used to culturally raise our families and children. It's like, that never used to necessarily be a thing for us back then. Do you know what I mean?
At all. And that's what it's all about. It's literally like, it's crazy because like you said, they've coined the term gentle parenting, and that's why she's been trying to move away from it into like intentional parenting.
I don't like any of those intuitive
It should just be parenting. It really is just parenting. It's just, and that's what we've talked about.
Taking like, little bits from different aspects and doing what feels right to you, and not only just feels right for you, but works for your children and your family. Do you get what I mean? It's a balance. It's
a balance. It's a balance. Like it's exactly that. I that's why I try not to use the term, because I'm like, I'm not a gentle parent. I'm not the parent who's my kids, they're not getting whooped. They're not
I'm a real parent. That's what I was saying.
Exactly. I'm a real parent. I'm doing whatever it is that's necessary. Like they don't need spankings they don't get spankings because they don't need them, because I discipline them in other ways. Like I was like, I don't have to hit them with nothing, because all I have to do is look at them, because they know daddy ain't playing. Let me get it together. They know.
I used to count to three, right? And I would say one, and the children just shake. And they weren't necessarily scared, but they knew mum meant business.
They knew, right? They knew. Like, okay. Let me straighten up. Yeah. Let me not. I don't want to get in trouble.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah.
It's different. And it's literally, it's just that.
That don't work no more, by the way. Because my youngest is 11. Then things don't work. But it works when they're
right. No, exactly. They don't have to, like, but then at that age though, you have less problems too. You have less, because I know with my 9-year-old, I have less issues with him dealing with anything. That boy is very responsible, respectful, and just I don't have to do anything. He knows he's wrong before I tell him he's wrong. He already knows he shouldn't have did it. Okay, cool. It's so much. It's just natural. It feels like the natural order of how it should go. It just is like it's the respect. You have a different level of respect. I have a different level of connection, communication, that all feels natural. It feels like one of the biggest things that's been going on, or that I've really like, that God revealed to me, I guess, on this journey, was we call God the Father. Like, God's the Father. So if God is the Father, and the way He be disciplining me and correcting me and taking care of me, He don't beat me. He don't do none of these things to me. He corrects me very firmly with some type of consequences that are related to what it is.
Yes, you see so for like, yourself.
Right. So it's like, okay, well then if I'm a dad and he's a dad, supposedly, they call him the father, whatever it is, okay, then these are big shoes I got to fill. It should be the same thing. I should be doing these things. And it's like, I started to realize, like, there's a presence in that. There's a presence in a parent. It's a presence.
There's guidance.
Exactly. And it's like, I don't have to, you don't need to fear me. You respect me because you see all of what I'm giving you. You see what I'm doing for you. You're there with it. And it's like, okay, now let's work together so you can get to the same. It creates a completely different dynamic. Like, I barely have to yell with them, but I do, like right now. I see that. That's awesome. But where are your shoes at? Okay, but I told you put your shoes on because there's glass everywhere, right? Okay, so put your shoes on. You don't know if your shoes are off.
That's all right. Like, sorry. So I'm very jealous of your surroundings right now. Can you show me earlier, but can you show us again? Because it was just so beautiful, if you don't mind.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about where you are and how you came to be there and where you're coming from in terms of area.
So right now we are in the Joshua Tree Desert. So it's just a big old desert, some mountains around here. This is that's our house and our car. I think you can see it right there. Yeah, it's the car and the house. And yeah, it's just like we have this is we've been out here for about a week now. We have a nice little dirt patch behind us, some grass. There's a lot of people going off-road and out here. They have their little tent set up over here. And yeah, we're just right now we're going back. We'll be going back in 3 days back to Riverside County for a little bit. That's where we're from. So it's not, we're about an hour away from home, but we just decided to go on a little small traveling trip. I can't say really from home. We're an hour away from our home base. So this is our home is mobile.
What's that like being in a space with your family where there's no one else around like that? I mean, there are people around, but I can't see anyone around you.
There's no one around. There's no one around. There's people at a far distance, but it's so peaceful. It's so peaceful. I love being able to allow them to just go outside and go explore, go play, to watch them. We can chill out. The other day, we went and did donuts in the truck. Me and the boys. We just went out and did donuts in the truck. And just they just had a blast. And it's the day before that, we had a fighting adventure outside. Every day is new, and it's so refreshing and fresh. My patience has grown tremendously because, of course, it's just us. So they want our attention a lot of time. But they've also learned to kind of, like, you know, give parents, we need our space, they need their space. We've learned to take space from each other. We've learned to communicate a lot better, and we're just closer. We're just so much closer. We experience everything together. The other day, there was a thunderstorm. There's been several thunderstorms out here. We went outside in the rain, it's indescribable. I literally wake up every day and I thank God just for being able to have this, because it's exactly that. It's beautiful. It's something I could have never conjured up in my head. I would have never known that. Like when I built it, it was very stressful. It was very stressful building it. It was very stressful dealing with, like, power. We have different issues because it's a completely self-sustainable unit. So we have water in there, running water in there, shower in there. We have solar panels for energy. And it's a different stress having to deal with all of those problems. But at the same time, like, the problems that come with it, like, we'll have, like, times where we don't have enough power sometimes. Our water right now, I got to find a way to drain it out so we can get new water in there. But other than that, it's
freedom, and it's your freedom. Children are being able to experience that. And it's not perfect as well. They're seeing the nuances and the challenges that come with it as a part of life, as a family.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that is exactly it. It's a learning. It is a constant learning experience. Like, every day is learning something new. We found rocks out here. We've learned about how we're in a dry lake bed. So we had to move when the storm hit, because we thought it was going to flood and we might get stuck. We didn't know that the cracks in the ground were going to absorb the water the way it was. And it turned into a science lesson because my son's studying soil. So he got to learn a little bit about how that worked. Like, it's just mind-blowing, everything that's been able to happen.
Is there a message you wanted to share with Black parents in general? But, you know, this is Black British Parent Platform. Is there a message you'd like to share with Black British parents?
Yeah, specifically this. There's nothing new under the sun. Know who the people of the sun are, because this us. Let's just get back to what we're doing. There's no white parenting. It's parenting. It's parenting. We are some of the best parents. Come on, man. Y'all, we know who we are. It's time. We know who we are. We the greatest parents. We the greatest mathematicians. We the greatest all that. We them. That's us. Remember that.
That's this week's episode of the Black British Parent Podcast. Be sure to go to blackbritishparent.co.uk to join the conversation. Thanks for listening. Until the next time.